and I feel really short behind his desk. I feel like a wormy little dude. But that's the way it goes. Let's turn to Psalms 99. Psalms 99. All right, Psalms 99. I know we covered the first part of this verse in closing last time, but Psalms 99, 1. It says, "The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. He sitteth between the cherubims, let the earth be moved." Okay, the Lord reigneth, so you're prophetically bumped forward to the second advent of Christ and beyond. The Lord is reigning here in this passage in Jerusalem. I know that you know, most folks reading the Psalms, they don't get that. They're reading that as the Lord reigns in the world now and all that stuff. And I know that ultimately he does, but right now we have a small g god of this world that's running stuff here, right?
Yeah.
He has to get permission from God to do what he does, but he manages to get his people in office and all those things. Amen? So don't get too involved in all that stuff. But the Lord reigneth. So we're looking forward to the day that he does. Here we are. You know, Christmas Eve as such, I know that Jesus didn't come and was not born at this time of year, but the fact that this could have taken place already and that because of man's wickedness, the Jews killed the Lord, refused to repent, we now have an opportunity. So we're still awaiting the coming of the Lord to sit down on the throne in Jerusalem and rule from the throne of David. And that's what we're waiting on. Again, it's a little surreal. Being in Israel here this last several days, a few days ago, and just being in that place and knowing, just seeing the place. It's not so much that, oh, this is the place where Jesus lay and all that kind of stuff. No, or Jesus walked for that matter, but this is the place where it's going to be happening right here. It's pretty cool. Anyway, the Lord reigneth. It says, let the people tremble. And so he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He will be an amenable king to those that are righteous and want to do right. He's going to be a terror to people that want to continue to fight and carry on. The Lord reigneth, let the people tremble. Notice he sitteth between the cherubims. Now, I thought I'd chase something down here on that, make sure that we have the distinctions. He sitteth between the cherubims. Okay, let's start with something simple here. Cherubims and seraphims, do you know the difference? Take your Bibles, turn to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6. Cherubims and seraphims. We'll get to what it says about cherubims here in a second. But I dare say most folks don't read carefully enough. And once again, you're stuck probably with most folks who do read don't trust the words enough to really trust what they're reading. Isaiah 6, 1, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And notice above it stood the seraphims. Okay, the Lord sits on the throne, high and lifted up, his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. These are not cherubims, these are seraphims. Now watch. Each one had six wings. So a seraphim has six wings. You'll see why that's important in a minute. With twain he covered his face. With twain he covered his feet. With twain he did fly. Verse 3, and one cried unto another and said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. The posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Okay, so the seraphims. Now go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4. And the seraphims are mentioned only twice in the Bible, as far as I know. In Revelation, they are not called seraphims, but you tell me what they are if they're not seraphims. I know what some people call them, and they're wrong. But chapter 4, and you know this typology, of course. After this, verse 1, I looked, and behold, a door was opened in heaven. The first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, come up hither, type of the rapture, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit and beheld a throne Behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. He that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne. We'll see more of that in a second. In sight likened to an emerald. And round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment. And they had on their heads crowns of gold. And then it goes on to add, and out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices. There were 7 lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. And before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. And in the midst of the throne and round about the throne were 4 beasts full of eyes before and behind. The first beast was like a lion. So 4 beasts, and you'll see difference in a second. The first beast was like a lion. The second beast was like a calf. The third beast had a face as a man. And the fourth beast was like a flying eagle. And so each one is looks like just one thing, right? Just keep that in mind. And then verse 8, and the 4 beasts each had each of them 6 wings about him. So what are these? You just saw something with 6 wings, and that was called a seraphim. So these are seraphims, right? And they are full of eyes within, and they rest not day and night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." And so these 4 beasts, I don't know what else their functions are, but they don't have 4 faces each like the cherubims will. They each have 1 face, and they have 6 wings, right? Now, those guys only show up, as far as I can tell, twice in the Bible. But the cherubims show up or are mentioned as cherubims, cherubim, or cherub 95 times. So they happen a lot more. Look at Ezekiel chapter 1. See if we can make a distinction what these things are versus the others. Because the verse in Psalm says, "He dwelleth between the cherubim." He dwelleth between the cherubims. That's verified over and over in one place after another. Okay, Ezekiel 1. I don't know if you've ever read this through carefully and tried to sort this out. It's kind of a wild scene, right? Why not have fun on Christmas Eve and try to figure out something that's... Okay. So Ezekiel sees this vision. Verse 4. I looked and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north. A great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. So here it comes. Think of it as a giant tornado coming at you. Only it's like something enfolding. So it's not just twirling. It's like it's fire enfolding itself like this. It's multiple swirls. Verse 4. And a brightness was about it. And out of the midst thereof, as the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. Here we go. And out of the midst thereof came the likeness of 4 living creatures. Okay, are these seraphim? And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Okay, all 4 had the likeness of a man. So they must all stand as men. Their faces are different, but they must all stand as men. The rough body shape, I'm guessing. Likeness of a man, verse 6, and everyone had 4 faces, so these are not seraphim. Each one of these had 4 faces, and everyone had 4 wings, not 6 wings. So the seraphim have 6, and each of them have just 1 face. The cherubim each have 4 faces and 4 wings. Just, and like I said, I don't know what commentators even do with it, because they wouldn't trust the Bible to give them numbers anyway, and so they probably just mess it all up. But it says their feet were straight feet, and the sole of their feet was like the sole of a calf's foot, and they sparkle like the color of burnished brass. So that's going to be a golden glowing like amber color, I think. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their 4 sides, and they 4 had their faces and their wings. Their wings were joined one to another. They turned not when they went. They went every one straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, they forehead the face of a man and the face of a lion on the right side. They forehead the face of an ox on the left side, and they forehead the face of an eagle. So that's the same face as those seraphims had, only it was one face apiece for a seraphim. The cherubims all have the face of a man, a lion, an ox, an eagle. Now just remember those four things, and we'll see something else in a second. So think about a beast with, roughly speaking, the body of a man, but he has like a calf's foot, and then they have four faces on the top of their shoulders. Pretty interesting view, that. Thus were their faces, and their wings were stretched upward. Two wings, and every one were joined one to another, and two covered their bodies. They went every one straight forward, whither the Spirit was to go, they went, and they turned not when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, now notice they're called living creatures already twice, verse 5, verse 13, was like burning coals of fire and like the appearance of lamps. It went up and down among the living creatures. So these four creatures are together, and it looks like this fire is moving up and down like a lantern or something amongst them. And again, they're called living creatures twice. Verse 14, and the living creatures ran and returned as the appearance of a flash of lightning. So they're all four around about the throne, and then once in a while, one of them goes like that. Goes and comes. Flash of lightning. Cool. And now as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. And I had trouble with that when I was younger. Because I'm thinking a four-wheeler, you know, a mud truck or something like that. But no, the wheels are on their sides. They're each like little mini whirlwinds. So you have four creatures, and then you have beside each creature a wheel laying on its side, twirling. It's going to be like that. You'll see it in a second. Now, as I beheld the living creatures, behold one wheel upon the earth by the living creatures with his four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their work was likened to the color of a beryl. I looked up beryl, and beryl can be all kinds of different colors, so I'm not sure what he means there. And they four had one likeness, and their appearance and their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. Okay, so each one of those wheels is like a whirlwind, and there apparently is a wheel within a wheel. So maybe part of it's twirling this way, in the middle of it there's another part of it twirling the other way, and I can't do that with my hands, but one part of it twirling this way, part of it twirling that way, right? A wheel within a wheel, Chris.
Could that maybe be a gyroscope?
Well, that's what I'm basically describing. But each wheel is on its side. Verse 16, end of the verse. Their work was as it were a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not when they went. As for their rings, so again, I'm imagining each one of these wheels as this tall whirlwind type thing, you know, with rings. So you have a cherubim standing here, and his wheel is beside him, and it's tall and it's twirling like a wheel within a wheel. They went upon their four sides. Verse 17. They turned not when they went. As for their rings, they were so high that they were dreadful. So it's really tall. Their rings were full of eyes round about them four. So the whirlwinds were full of eyes. Yeah. And when the living creatures went, the wheels went by them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Whithersoever the spirit was to go, they went. Whither was their spirit to go? And the wheels were lifted up over against them, for the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. Now notice for the first time it mentions living creature, singular. In 5, 13, 14, 15, 19, these are living creatures. And now for the first time, living creature. We'll see more in a second. Just hang on. For the spirit of the living creature, verse 20, was in the wheels. When those went, these went. And when those stood, these stood. When those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up over against them. For the spirit of the living creature was in the wheels. And the likeness of the firmament upon the heads of the living creature was as the color of the terrible crystal stretched forth over their heads above. So you have these creatures, and above them is this firmament. Under the firmament were their wings straight, the one toward the other. Everyone had two, which covered on this side, and everyone had two, which covered on that side, their bodies. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters, as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech, as the voice of an host. When they stood, they let down their wings. And there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne as the appearance of a sapphire stone. Sapphire is brilliant, beautiful blue. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness of the appearance of a man above upon it. So here we're talking about the Lord's throne, right? Now I saw as the color of amber, as the appearance of fire around about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward, I saw it was, as it were, the appearance of fire that had brightness round about. And the appearance of the bow that was in the clouds in the day of rain, so a rainbow, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. So you read about that rainbow in Revelation 4, right? Yep. Verse 28, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So this is only a likeness. It's the appearance of the likeness. And you remember that while the Lord spoke to Moses face to face, he only appeared to him in similitude. Moses didn't see him squarely as in the fullness of the glory of God. He had appeared to him in similitude. Now, I know that maybe this is boring you, but look at Ezekiel 10. Because you have another description. Like I said, these cherubim are mentioned 95 times, but this is plainly the a type of the coming of the Lord in Ezekiel 1. Now you put together a few more things, and it's interesting, some differences. Just allow me to skim through Ezekiel 10 and look again at these cherubims. Okay, the cherubim show up 95 times. And you have the Lord, we started in Psalm 99:1, where the Lord sitteth between the cherubims. Now what we just heard described is that the Lord is on the above the firmament on top of the cherubims. But if there's four round about, even if he is sitting on top of them, he's still in the middle of them, right? And don't forget, there was an anointed cherub that covered that's not there anymore. And that was the devil, right? Okay, Ezekiel 10:1. And I looked, and behold, in the firmament that was above the head of the cherubims, there appeared over them, as it were, a sapphire stone, and the appearance of the likeness of a throne. So that sapphire stone is a brilliant, beautiful blue. He spake unto the man clothed with linen and said, go in between the wheels, even under the cherub. And notice that it's now called a cherub. He keeps switching. He's going to start switching now from cherubims to cherub. And fill thine hand with coals of fire from between the cherubims and scatter them over the city. And he went in my sight. Now the cherubim stood on the right side of the house when the man went in, and the cloud filled the inner court. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and stood over the threshold of the house. The house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. And the sound of the cherubim's wings was heard even to the outer court as the voice of the Almighty God when he speaketh. Came to pass that when he had commanded the man clothed with linen, saying, take fire from between the wheels. So again, four cherubims, each one of them has beside him a wheel that I imagine looking like a whirlwind that's really tall, right? And each of those is like a wheel within a wheel. So it's spinning on the outside, then spinning the other way on the inside. Something like that. Verse 7. One cherub stretched forth his hand from between the cherubims into the fire that was between the cherubims and took thereof and put it into the hands of him that was clothed with linen and who took it and went out. There appeared in the cherubims the form of a man's hand under their wings. When I looked, behold, the four wheels by the cherubims, one wheel by one cherub, and another wheel by another cherub. And the appearance of the wheels was as the color of a beryl stone. And what I looked up, the beryl is multiple colors, so I'm not sure what it's talking about there. As for their appearances, they four had one likeness, as if a wheel had been in the midst of a wheel. When they went upon their four sides. They turned not as they went, but to the place whither the head looked, they followed it. They turned not as they went. Their whole body and their backs and their hands and their wings and the wheels were full of eyes round about even the wheels that they four had. As for the wheels, it was cried unto them in my hearing, a wheel. Everyone had four faces. Now here's the four faces of the cherubims, right? Remember that the seraphim each just have one face. So the seraphim and the cherubim cannot be the same. All right, so everyone had four faces, verse 14. The first face was the face of a cherub. Second face was the face of a man. Third face of a lion. And the fourth, the face of an eagle. Now, what changed? And from Ezekiel 1, the four faces were an ox, a man, a lion, and an eagle, right? Okay, so now you know what in the Bible, what a cherub looks like. It looks like an ox.
Yep.
And so if the devil was the anointed cherub that covereth, when he inspired Aaron to make gods in the wilderness, what did he make? He made a calf. So, kind of interesting. Okay, verse 15. And the cherubs were lifted up. This is the living creature that I saw by the river of Kibar. So, creatures, creatures, creatures. And then, at the same time, he speaks of it as one living creature. So, what does that mean? I don't know. Verse 16. When the cherubims went, the wheels went by them. When the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth, the same wheels also turned not from beside them. When they stood, these stood. When they lifted up, these were lifted up themselves also. For the spirit of the living creature, singular, was in them. Then the glory of the Lord departed from off the threshold of the house and stood over the cherubims. And the cherubims lifted up their wings and mounted up from the earth in my sight. When they went out, the wheels also were beside them, and everyone stood at the door of the east gate of the Lord's house, and the glory of God of Israel was over them above. This is the living creature that I saw under the God of Israel. It's as if it's one living creature. Now, you know what's weird? In Revelation 19, what does the Lord come back on? He comes back on a white horse, right? Now, interestingly, he's calling this a creature, and I'm not sure what to make of it exactly, but look at Psalms 18. Psalms 18. And what I would direct you to is back in Ezekiel 1, where it says that this is the likeness, the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. But it specifies in chapter 18, verse 7, then the earth shook and trembled, type of the second advent. The foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. coals were kindled by it. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, right? Coming back in flaming fire, spitting fire out of his mouth, right? He bowed to heaven also and came down. The darkness was under his feet. He rode up on a cherub and did fly. Now I believe Jesus comes back on a white horse, right? But I don't know how to explain it, but this thing that he's seeing was described as the appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. So this is this singular, this these four cherubs that are a singular creature also have something to do with the second advent too. It may just have something to do with how it appears, right? The appearance of the likeness of the glory of God. Because Christ comes back in glory. So anyway, all that, again, if you want to take this, Ezekiel 28 real quick. Ezekiel 28. See, he said he dwells between the cherubims. He dwells between the cherubims. What am I looking for? There's something I wanted you to see. Just let me look here for a second. Well, we'll go ahead and read it. All right. 28:12. Son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus, saying to him, thus saith the Lord, thou sealest up the sum full of wisdom, perfect in beauty. Thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. The king of Tyrus was back in Eden? I don't think so. This is the Lord addressing Satan, Lucifer, in the king of Tyrus, like he addressed Satan in Peter. Thou, right? Get thee behind me, Satan. All right? Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, topaz, diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, sapphire, emerald, carbuncle, and gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets, a musical instrument, and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. So Satan is a created creature. He was a living musical instrument and a living jewel, effectively. Verse 14, thou art the anointed cherub that covereth. So he must have been above the throne. It says something else here in a second if I can find it. And I have set thee so, thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked, there it is, thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. So remember, he sends forth the guy to take fire out from between the cherubs. Remember? Okay, apparently Satan was able to move up and down. Now here are the four cherubs below. He's above, but he's able to move down into the stones of fire down beneath too. So there's stones of fire down there. Verse 15, thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have fill the midst of thee with violence. Thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. So he's going to go to a place where he's going to dwell in fire forever. Ain't that something? Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Vanity. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. But thou hast corrupted thy wisdom. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings and that they may behold thee. All right, so I'm back now to Psalm 99. Anybody have any comment on any of that? I'm not sure why I dragged you through all that. I just thought it was fun. Brother Todd.
Like in the, I know in 1 Samuel, I don't know beyond that. And I just haven't, just came to mind. So the thing is that, so behind and two on the...
Yeah, big ones in the temple.
Big ones behind and two small ones on. So there's four there. I don't know what to make of it exactly.
Yeah, I don't know.
So
I know that...
This, when they say dwelt between the cherubims, is that this, what the Lord is really saying there is, it's not talking about the cherubims on the ark. It's talking about... This thing.
Right, because there were two overspreading cherubs over the mercy seat, right? I was going to show you that. Look in Exodus 25. I'll show you in a second, but what makes this interesting to me is that you are seeing a shadow of what it's like in heaven with this. Show you in a second. Psalms, or Exodus 25, what did I say? 25:22. Notice, the Lord is telling Moses, and there I will meet with thee, and I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubs, which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So Moses goes in there, look at Numbers chapter 7. Moses goes in there and hears this voice. That voice is coming from off the mercy seat from underneath the cherubs, from between the cherubs. Numbers chapter 7. And go all the way down to the to verse 89. And when Moses was gone into the tabernacle of the congregation to speak with him, then he heard the voice of one speaking unto him from off the mercy seat that was upon the ark of the testimony from between the two cherubs. He spake unto him. So you got this fancy box with these two cherubim looking things over it, and it's talking to you. Pretty trippy. Now, what I was going to mention to you, Hebrews chapter 8. The thing is, now we've done this before, but Hebrews chapter 8. Now this is anything that the Lord did in the tabernacle and temple is a pattern of the real thing. Look in chapter 8, verse, context here, verse 3. For every high priest is ordained to offer gifts and sacrifices, wherefore it is of necessity that this man have somewhat also to offer. For if he were on earth, he should not be a priest, seeing that there are priests that offer gifts according to the law, who serve, notice, those priests serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was admonished of God. Now they serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. Because you see, go down to chapter 9, verse 11, Christ being come and a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building. Because over then 9:23, it was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. So all the purifications of the tabernacle and temple down here, the blood sprinkling, the water sprinkling, all that kind of stuff, that was those were the patterns of the things in heaven that should be purified by these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. So what the tabernacle and temple, so including the mercy seat and all that stuff, represented was the real thing in heaven. It was just a shadow and pattern of things down here. And so blood sprinkling and all that stuff, Christ had to go north and take care of all that. Goes on to add, for Christ, verse 24, is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true. Those aren't the real things. The real things are in heaven. So you can settle in your heart that the real thing's not down here.
Right.
The real thing's in heaven. Anything of beauty, majesty, holiness, sanctification down here is not the real thing.
Right.
the real thing's up there.
Yeah.
And so that's why it says that I have not seen nor ear heard. You just read a whole bunch of words trying to describe to you cherubim and how their wheels and their eyes work and all that, where their spirits are and stuff, and you're going, what? I probably read it through 30 times before I figured out what it even sort of kind of looks like. But, Chris.
So you're saying this room and this service and these hymns we sing are not the real thing, but they're simply shadows of what heaven's going to be like.
Yeah.
Great.
That'll work. The chair you're sitting on is real.
What are we waiting for?
What I'm saying is that those patterns, the heavenly things, were patterned down here in the tabernacle and temple. But yeah, the songs you're singing are they're just a shadow of the real joy and song and what goes into a song up there.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
All right, we spent the entire service doing just that. So I guess I have to be done now. Let's sing one before we go.